League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
These quotes from Yordan Alvarez, I don't know if you saw these, Blankers, but they're mysterious, very curious, still have no idea what the actual injury is. Here are some of the quotes. It's also interesting, too, because, like, I look at the Astros of having, like, three beat guys, like Chandler Rome for The Athletic, Kawahara for The Chronicle, and then McTaggart for MLB.com. Like, those are the three. So, like, those are, like, you know, the triad, I guess, of Astro beat guys that I like to get information from. And the way, like, and you know how, like, every writer has, like, their way of speaking? Like, it could be positive. It could be snarky. It could be negative. And it is interesting reading the three stories from, like, back to back to back from each of these guys, because each article gives you a very different perspective, tone. Yep. That's the word. Yep. All three of these articles give you a very different tone. I felt the most negative was probably Rome's, whereas Kawahara was pretty positive. Actually, McTaggart, I think, was just kind of like right down the middle. But here, I'll start with Rome first. Yordan Alvarez answering the question, will you have to deal with it, the hand, all year? Yordan says, I wish not, but I don't know. If I have to deal with it, it will be for the rest of the season. I think I need to rest it, but again, I need to come back and play. I think I'm in the right direction right now to come back and play. What? What? I don't know what that means. You've been resting it.
Yeah, that's, again, because of the fact that, and you'll get into it with some of the later quotes, you're sitting there and we're all playing the mystery game of what the hell is it? And you know, Dana was referring to a fractured bone that was 60% healed a few weeks ago. He's basically saying that no matter what, that it needs more rest and I probably should rest it the rest of the year, but I can't because they need me. And then that just leads you to not only have all kinds of questions about when and if you do come back, how good is it going to feel and what are you going to be able to do? But then, as it relates to the long term, how fixable is it?
That's what, like, I don't know what the injury is. I don't think anybody knows what the injury is. Like, what injury needs, like, 18 months of rest without any surgery? Another one for Yordan, talking about the injury in his hand. Where the pain is in the hand, it's a little bit difficult to have surgery there. That's why I say I need a little bit of rest right now. It's an area where normally we don't get surgery in that area, but I think it isn't something I'll have to keep dealing with. What?
Here's the typhoon of a swirling wind that you're going, how did you just come first full circle and basically say where it's at, you don't have surgery there, but that's why I need the rest, and it's and then come back with, but I think it's not something we have to keep dealing with. We've been dealing with it all year and it ain't gotten any better.
I'm at a loss. Like, I don't know. Like, I almost wonder if, like, the Astros have, like, recommended surgery, and Yordan's like, I'm good. But, like, that's a leap. That's a massive reach. I understand that. But that's, like, that's the mystery of this. I get no information when Yordan speaks. He's like, I need rest, but I'm feeling better. I don't think it's going to, like, mess with me for the rest of the year, but I need rest, and I just need more rest. What? Like, I don't get it. Here was Kawahara, a little bit more of a positive outlook. Quote, Yordan said that he's headed in the right direction. Okay, I guess that's good that he's headed in the right direction, better than being headed in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. Alvarez said he swung at 60 to 65% and his hand is feeling well. Okay, like, I guess that's positive. Yordan on steps towards returning. I wish I could know that right now. We're trying to be careful about this whole thing, trying to take it to the best point, and then we'll know when I can come back. So definitively no timeline on Yordan.
Right, and here's the thing, Jeremy. We've been there and done that. We already know that he's done the swinging off the tee. We know that we've gotten to the point of swinging off BP, a pitching machine. We already know that we've gotten him close and we've dangled the carrot in front of everybody's face to say, here he is, he's getting close, And then we know he was shut down when he started facing live pitching and that it hurt like hell and that it didn't get any better. So nothing that I'm hearing here gives me the hope and belief that, one, he's getting better to the point where once he comes back, he's going to be okay. And two, more importantly, that we haven't been there and done this before and got turned down right at the doorstep and sent packing for another couple of weeks. I can't get excited about it.
Yordan was on the brink of facing live pitching in Florida on July 1st. This was the most recent one, and then shut it down. Quote, it was the same area as the initial injury. I was worried because I woke up that day, and the plan was to hit off pitchers, but I couldn't really grip the bat because the hand was swollen. But I think after the injections, that really helped, and it responded well. Now, it has been reported that he's had injections prior to this, that he's had injections throughout this entire injury. So, like, why should we believe that these injections are going to work this time?
I mean, all we're basing a lot of this off of, which is so entirely frustrating, is just what he's willing to say. Like, whether he's willing to tell them, ooh, that hurt, or I don't feel good today, or this set of injections worked, as opposed to, like, you hear all this, and you're listening to all this, and you're going, okay, so what's the medical staff doing, and what are we doing? Like, because we know there's only, it sounds like basically what they're telling you without telling you is, if we just shoot it up the rest of the year, he'll be able to get back at a certain point and fight his way through. And then you just don't know how good he's going to be and how that really is going to affect how, if he changes his grip or what it, how it does to alter his hitting. But it also doesn't give you any encouragement for the long term either, that this thing's going to be fixed, solved, and just be behind us after this season.
No, it's a lot was said here and nothing was told. Like, it's kind of the Casario word salad. Like, I'm more confused now than I was before.
But plus, even when you are trying to, like, get a decoder ring and fight through and read between the lines, been there and done that. Been there and seen everything in this new timetable is just like the old timetable that you referenced. Like, we've already seen the hitting off a tee and swinging a bat and then getting in the cage and then getting to the point of live pitching. And it didn't end well. So what's to believe that this time, oh, it's better and we're shooting it up and he's still getting shots? And I don't know.
Junior says it's a fracture in his ring finger metacarpal. I don't think that's the only thing going on with his hand, because, like, he had hand injuries in the past. I understand that they found the broken bone that was 60% healed. But if it was 60% healed at that point, he should be back. Like, I think that there's more going on than just the fourth metacarpal being the issue. Another one from this one's actually from Espada talking about Yordan. I think it's important for us to give this time and get it right, and I think he's doing everything in his power to get it right. But I do like where he's at right now, so I guess that's positive. And then one from McTaggart that I didn't find in the other stories was Yordan saying, it's not a secret that I've been out for more than a couple of months, but we want to do everything without rushing it. It's a delicate situation with the hand. It has been frustrating, but we're being smart about this, and we're taking it to the point where we're progressing, and that's the most important part. That's what's going to help me come back and play. So
I almost think that's almost like a parting shot at Dana too, in the fact that we don't know who we is, but we certainly know that he doesn't want to rush it, which might indicate that the fact that he maybe got frustrated with the fact that everybody was on this timetable to kind of push him through and get him back quicker because it had taken so long already, and that now this time they're not doing that.
See, that thought crossed my mind too. Like, whenever I read that quote specifically, I'm like, Like, and you had Dana saying, like, expediting the injury, like, expediting the process, rather, once he's, like, capable of holding a bat. And Yordan's like, I think we need to ease, not expedite. Texter says it was all translated from Spanish. I'm sure it sounds better in Spanish. Like, there's something to that. Like, that maybe there are things that are lost in translation. I was frustrated that I couldn't find video of this. Like, I couldn't find Yordan. Maybe there wasn't a camera there. Maybe it was just the writing press that was there.
But if the writing press has a phone, especially if they always take notes.
Yeah.
You don't need to take notes if you record it and go back and reference it.
I tried to find it and I couldn't, because I could understand a little bit of Spanish. I was trying to find the context a little better.
Here's the thing too. Let's think about this from the perspective of what Junior Bronco said. Well, it could be, you can say that it's the metacarpal, but when he describes in one of the first quotes that you read from Chandler Rome about the fact that where the pain is in the hand, it's a little bit difficult to have surgery there. Well, it almost indicates to me that, you know, you can have surgery on a break. You can do things to try and, you know, to try and bring a break closer together. To me, I got the feeling like this was separate from the break that they've been dealing with.
The inflammation has to be. Like this texture says, I'm not a doctor, but I'm not real sure there's any type of injection that could heal a fracture. Exactly.
Exactly.
Like they're not injecting
yep.
the hand because of the fracture. They're injecting the hand because there's inflammation going on in his hand. That well past the bone healing. So, like, that's why there has to be some other stuff going on with Jordan's hand. Like, why is he getting two injections 4 weeks after it was 60% healed?
Yeah,
it doesn't add up.
No.
Like, it makes no sense. Goodness, let's hope we don't have another Lance injury and put it off for the next 2 or 3 years. Yeah, like, why I just don't, like, I don't know what it is. Like, we know he had a broken bone, but, like, why is he getting the injections? Is the inflammation ever going to settle down? What is the surgery that they kind of alluded to and said, well, it doesn't really happen there? Has that been on the table? Has that been an option? Like, it's a mystery.
And here's the thing to me with the Lance McCullough reference is I understand that there's a certain timetable and there's everybody with a certain level of concern because there's an urgency with the season. If we're still dealing with this in the off season, they better damn well figure out something that can be done in the off season so that we're not dealing with it again next year. Because that's what we did with Lance. And that's where we heard the multitude of excuses and reasons and follow-ups that had us going, well, why hasn't anything been done yet? Why isn't there a bigger procedure that can be done to rectify it? What are we doing to try and, stop what you're dealing with? You don't want this to continue and linger through the offseason with Jordan and everybody just kind of sit on their hands and not have anything that can be done in the offseason when there is no games to worry about and no timetable to rush him back for, that by the time you start the season next year that we're not dealing with this anymore.
Big C says, I would let the Astros medical staff manage a common cold for me. It's a good point.
Junior Bronco, a lot of players feel that way.
If it's going to take 8 weeks, Jordan's going to take 10. He's on Jordan time. This texture, I would bet he has arthritis and or carpal tunnel. Look, I've let my mind wander there. Like, why are they being so coy about this? Why does he have this unbelievable amount of inflammation at all times? It's weird.
But also because my wife, and she's not swinging a bat or anything, but I know that with carpal tunnel and there's another kind of, I don't know what it exactly, ailment that is like carpal tunnel. And that there is the best, they have the best doctors on the planet in the medical center that can take care of that. And there's different ways to attack that to where, like I said, even if they can't do that now because of what it might do to the timetable of his return for the season, in the offseason, there's got to be something that can be done to rectify it. If indeed that's what it is.
I mean, it's that, but we don't know. We that's the thing. We don't know. I'm not being dramatic, but this has the makings of a career issue. Look, it's not the first year he's had hand issues. He had the hand issues a few years ago, and Dusty didn't know which hand was hurt.
That's right.
Jordan has never stayed healthy, will not stay healthy moving forward, and this will only get worse. Another texture saying trade him. You don't trade him whenever he's at his lowest. He needs to go to QC Kinetics, says a texture. All of Jordan's answers sound like a man trying to remember what he was told to say. Maybe. Like, maybe he is being intentionally coy. Maybe him as a young player fears for the long-term health and wants to be 100% before he comes back, even if it means missing this year, even though missing this year is better than missing the next two or three.
Let's go to the one before that, because the one before that is the one that kind of struck me. Because when you look at all these quotes, he's emphasizing rest. And I think that this is a guy that isn't like on the last year of his deal where he can just say what he wants to say and air it out. He knows that his long-term contract has him associated with this franchise. But in a coy kind of way, he could be basically saying, we ain't rushing this time. I think I need rest. It seems like I need more rest. The best case scenario, I should be resting it. As if to say, without saying it, you guys rushed me the last time. We ain't doing that this time.
Yeah, I think it's plausible. Like, everything's on the table because we don't know anything. Like, mm-hmm. It's the frustrating part of it. 713-780-ESPN. How about the Isak Paredes news? Joe Espada was on the flagship today and gave an update on that. Was it good news? Was it bad news? 713-780-3776. My colleague, U of H class of 1990, used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect your business. Been doing it for nearly 25 years. HRP is the teammate you want in your corner. They provide comprehensive human capital management services, including, but not limited to, HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRP will work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. So customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone familiar with you and familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service. We use HRP here at Gow. Anytime I have a question, quick response, easy to understand. So let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burdens. Give them a call, 281-880-6525. That's 281-880-6525, or visit them online at HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get to the ESOC Bananas news in a moment. A couple of texts on Jordan Alvarez, 713-780-ESPN. Texter says, IE career ended. He's a big man. Look at Yao Ming. Totally different person. 409 Josh, is Jordan's hand going to turn into Yao's foot? I had never really thought of those two things in the same sentence, and now I'm a little scared that I have.
I mean, again, and it's easy because of what we've been through with the Astros in the last couple of years. But when you look at it, Houston has had a pretty fair share of injuries that weren't supposed to be, that have been like not just catastrophic in the case of like a Yao and what could have been, but even with a Tucker, if we had, you know, the healthy Tucker of a year ago, and would you have even been in the wild card series? And you go up and down the list with Chris Paul's hamstring. I mean, there's so many you can pull from going, yeah, it's kind of in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Houston's had a I'm sure every city does too, but we don't follow the cities as closely. But I feel like Houston would have more. I really do. Tinfoil hat. Did Jordan know about his hand issue when he took the team-friendly deal? That's an interesting tinfoil hat. I mean, lock in some money if you know you have a bad body. Not the worst conspiracy.
I mean, and here's the thing. If their medical staff didn't know what they didn't know, and they keep going by how do you feel and what are you feeling – if you feel a certain kind of way and you know that it's time to get, you might as well get paid now, because you just, uh-huh. I mean, that's, look, the organizations do that kind of stuff all the time and don't really care about the outcome for the player. If the player was feeling a certain kind of way and got his money up front, well, that's part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Double knee. I mean, because he got the contract after the double knee surgery. It was probably right around, maybe in the same year as the first hand issue flaring up. So, I don't know. It's not the worst conspiracy. I'll give it like 25% credence. I'm assuming the Astros are going to get zero production from Jordan this season. That's probably the way that Dana should approach it. Mm-hmm. He should approach, you know, the deadline. I'm not expecting to get Jordan back. I'm not expecting to get Isak back. And that, you know, you're not going to trade for everything. Like, you have this wish list. You're not going to be able to afford trading for every single thing on your wish list. But I think that Dana should approach the next 9 days with the mindset that you're getting zero production from Jordan and or Isak. And if you do, it's just a bonus. But I think you have to plan the rest of the way with expecting nothing out of them.
I would tend to agree. I just think that the best way to look at this from a professional sports perspective is assume the worst and then really appreciate the best. Like, if you assume go into this and approach it like, with worst case scenario, then you're covering your bases. You're doing whatever you can to kind of put band-aids on things and or fix what you can fix. And then you roll with it. And then if lo and behold, one or more of these guys come back and they're able to contribute, then that's a huge bonus that makes you a deeper, better baseball team. But at least you were prepared for it, as opposed to, hey, the sky's not falling. These guys are all going to be back at a certain time. We don't have to do anything. And then you get caught holding the bag.
Mm-hmm. Key from LA, in the past 3 years, would you rather have – who would you rather have, Astro fans, but he's asking us, who would you rather have the past 3 years, Aaron Judge or Jordan Alvarez, in your lineup every day?
I mean, it's pretty impossible to not say Aaron Judge, just simply from the fact that not only was he available every game, but his numbers were through the roof.
Give me Jordan in the playoffs. Give me Judge in the regular season. I'll play it that way. Give me Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson in the regular season, and then give me Jalen Hurts in the postseason. Jordan is to Jalen Hurts what Aaron Judge is to Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. 713-780-ESPN. So, you see that Isak Paredes had travel issues getting home, delayed the doctor visit on the hamstring. Now, I didn't realize this. One of my Twitter friends told me this, that that Seattle-Tacoma airport, because of the Alaskan Airlines, like, they had some issues. Mm-hmm. Like, 300 flights got canceled out of that airport on Sunday. Okay. So, like, I didn't realize that. So, it actually, like, has some validity to it, I guess. Just comical, because who? What other team would that happen to? Of course it happens to the Astros. Espada was...
Can I just on that point alone, do we... Jim Crane still has a plane, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you would charter for one person, though.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. Like, what's the difference between an MRI on Monday and an MRI on Tuesday? He's not coming back for 2 months.
Yeah, but I don't...
And the inflammation's probably too great to even get a great visual on it.
I wouldn't.
I don't know.
I got a plane at my beck and call, and I'm not worried about.
He doesn't have a plane either. They borrow, or they don't borrow. They rent the Rockets plane. No.
They rent the Rockets plane for the team travel.
Exactly.
Right. Like,
I don't. Okay.
But Crane has a private jet. I'm almost positive.
I mean,
Crane has
you would
a private
think he would,
jet.
Right.
Tillman has one too. I mean, yeah. I think that I could be wrong, but I think I've heard referenced before that Crane has a plane.
Probably does.
Because I think that in the past they've flown Yordan, like when he joined Chicago. So I believe that there is a plane that could be used. Like, just get him back, get the diagnosis as soon as possible. You only got 9 days to the trade deadline. So there is a little bit of a time constraint to know how severe is this, so how much does Dana need to know so that he knows what he's got to do?
I don't think there's a big difference in an MRI on Monday versus Tuesday. I don't know the normal protocol for Major League Baseball teams when they're flying a single player. Now, that you're right. I forgot about the Yordan instance. That's a great pull. Like, a lot of times they'll the next day starting pitcher, they'll fly out ahead of time. That way they get more rest. I would assume that's – like, I don't know if that's commercial or charter. I have no idea. Like, I don't know the standard protocol for that.
No, I would assume that – Especially an organization like this that's trying to turn the page and get people to realize that, you know, that things are changing, or that they take care of their players the right way.
Yeah,
this is just a simple gesture, and especially maybe you don't want to do it, but especially now with everything that's been going on with injuries, hey, let's just get the PJ out there to pick him up, take him home, get this thing rolling, and also give Dana everything he needs to see if we can fix some things.
Yeah. Like, I'm not smart enough to know if this is a valid concern or not, but it feels valid to me.
It does.
Like, I think it feels valid. Like, I don't want to be overly critical because I feel like I'm critical too much, but I feel like this is a valid concern. 713-780-ESPN. Now, Espada was on with Matt today, the flagship. He does a normal appearance weekly, and, you know, they asked about Esoc. Espada told him that it's going to take a while before they get Esoc back. I actually took this as a positive. Am I nuts? Am I being too optimistic? Am I on the Rocky Mountain high here? Like, the fact that he said back makes me think that they think that they're going to get him back before the end of the season.
I would tend to agree. I think that they're not, again, and wisely show, they better not rush his ass back. But I think that at the same time, I think that there's a point where when you and I were talking about this the other day, I think it's September. I think that at some point in September that he's going to be available, that it's going to be okay, and that he'll go through his rehabs, and that if they're making this playoff push, whether it's to win the division or get a wild card spot, that they're going to be in a position to get him back, get him some regular season at bats, and I do believe that if they make the playoffs, he will be there.
Yeah, I take it as a positive. I feel like that would be a win too. Like, that scenario you played out, I would take. Like, give me that. You're playing whenever it matters the most. Now,
look, we just got done talking about. Smoke, mirrors, and a whole bunch of 4A space Cowboys have gotten you to the point where you're still sitting on a 5-game lead, you know, as you head down the home stretch of the last month and a half. The fact of the matter is that there's a pretty realistic timetable to say that you're going to be a playoff team. Then make sure that when you are a playoff team, it's like we've talked about all year long. We don't need Hunter Brown at his best right now. We need Hunter Brown at his best when you roll into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The same thing with Yordan, but more importantly, Paredes, for what he's done for you all year already, and getting Pena and Jake back. A healthy Astros team is a scary proposition no matter who they face and where they sit in the seeds.
Yeah. To me, it's a win. Sounds like we're on the same page there. Texture's on your side. Put Esoc on a private jet and get him home ASAP.
Hell yes. Yep.
So, yeah. I mean,
you want a guy with a hammy sitting through a terminal?
That's a good point, too. Like, I didn't think about that. Like, he's going through TSA. He's limping to his gate.
He's like, what are we doing?
I hope they gave him first class, but even then, like, there's not a terrific amount of leg room.
I mean, are we the Bengals or are we the Astros? Like, I mean, and you got an owner that's sitting there with, you know, the access to do it. Just this just seems to me like a no-brainer.
Where was Jim Crane's private plane? If it wasn't flying Esoc Paredes back to Houston, 713-780-ESPN. Texture, why did Esoc rush back from the groin injury? It was a hamstring injury, and like they thought he was 100%. Mm-hmm. Did that? Was it not 100%? And then the other hammy's acting up because it's compensating for the other?
That's the biggest thing. Like that, the biggest thing that anybody will tell you when it's the other leg from the previous injury is that you were doing something to overcompensate for what you were still feeling on the first one.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we don't know, but, like, it has happened before in the past, but we'll never know. All right, 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday. What are your questions for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
780-ESPN. What is your question for the Bees? Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday. We didn't get to it yesterday. Had too much to talk about yesterday. So 713-780-3776. What are your questions for the Bees? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Chuck, you're in the Hive. What's your question for the Bees?
Well, guys, I just want to make one comment, then I got a question. The one thing we need to start questioning in this thing with the Astros is we just got to hope Jim Crane continues to pick general managers because he seems to know what he's doing there. As far as everything else, it seems to be a bleep show. And I got a question for you. Who wins the series, Astros IR or current Astros? Y'all have a good one.
What do you think? Astros IR or Astros?
Astros.
I was thinking about this yesterday. It would have to be...
You and like, Chuck thinking alike?
Yeah. I hadn't like workshopped it out completely, so we hadn't brought it up yet. But it was like in the infancy stages of a segment. You know, a segment's got a bunch of steps for the way that a segment comes to life. You got the early stages, you got to workshop it out, got to breathe, got to walk, and then eventually you have a segment. Now there are some issues with like it would have to be a 5-game series because a 3-game series favors the current Astros because you got Fromber and you got
Hunter
Brown.
That's why I went that way. Yeah, if I got those two horses at the top of my rotation, I'm going to live with that.
And it also can't be a 7-game series because the Astros like real life bullpen has too many arms in it. So it would have to be a 5-game series. Now the Astros IL doesn't have a whole lot of like relief. Like they don't have a whole lot of bullpen guys. Like you mentioned yesterday, like Dubin's like the only IL bullpen guy. But they have Christian Javier, they have Luis Garcia, they have JP France. They don't have a catcher, but
they have
Luis Guillorme. Oh yeah, Blanco. I forgot about Blanco because he's not coming back. I said Arrighetti, right?
Regardless, he's there.
So like their pitching staff would be pretty good. The 16 guys that are in the Astros IL, their pitching staff would be pretty good. I don't think there would be enough. Well, you would just have some guys playing out of position. Like, because Jordan's your DH. You're going to have, your second baseman's Brendan Rodgers. Esoc's your third baseman. You're going to have to find some spots for guys who don't play in those spots. Most specifically, catcher.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest question to me is like who catches and who plays first base, because other than that, you got DeCenzo in the outfield, you've got Paredes at third, you got Peña at short, you got Jake in center. DeCenzo, I guess you put in the outfield. You're right. You put Brandon Rodgers at second. Catcher first and third are up for grabs. I guess you put DeCenzo at third or first.
I mean, he's played there.
Yeah.
He's played there.
I'm saying third or first, and then you just need – I mean, really skilled. You got. I don't know who's catching. I don't know who's playing first.
Did you have Guillorme?
I did not have the.
So he could play
the
one
slow
of them.
Pitch softball. I mean,
he's got the body of a catcher.
Yeah. Okay.
He does.
He's also got the body of a first baseman. Depending on who you're looking at,
he's not tall enough, Guillorme, to be a first baseman. I mean, he's capable. He could do it. But I mean, you look at Luis Guillorme. I mean, that's a spitting image of Martin Maldonado from the neck down.
Okay.
It is. I mean, they both are pudgy. They're both catcher. I mean, I have a catcher body at this stage of my life.
Is Maldi taller than Guillorme?
They're probably pretty close. Like, Guillorme's got the body of a catcher. And he's a good defender, so he can handle it. Like, he could – I mean, you could – I mean, you're not going to catch Guillorme 100 games a year, but could he give you an inning behind the dish? Yeah, Yeah, he'll give you an inning behind the dish.
It's not going to win you a series.
No, I think that the real Astros will win, but I think it's a lot closer than it should be. it could be a competitive five-game series.
Who knows? Knock on wood, but let's see who gets hurt next, and then you can fill another void and make it a better conversation.
No, I don't
exactly right, no.
Texture, who's the number one target you're looking for at the deadline?
I'm looking for a bat.
I think that there's enough goodwill and hope in what you're seeing progress with the pitching staff that I believe you're going to get one or two pitchers back sooner rather than later. I'm not looking for an arm. I'm looking for a bat. That's my number one focus.
Yeah.
And because there's so much up in the air with too many offensive players, it used to be just a left-handed bat. That would be ideal, but I just need a better bat than what I see at the bottom of the lineup.
Fair enough. I'm with you on that, I think. Blaine says that Isak plays third. So Isak at third, DeZinzo at first.
Oh, that's right.
It's too recent for you to remember that he's on the IL.
Catcher's the biggest question.
Yeah, well, I got my guy. I already got my catcher. You can ask JP France to go behind the dish.
If he gets as lazy as Baldy was behind the dish, you probably do.
He made that one lunging catch. I think he could block a ball in the dirt. He could probably throw out base runners better than Yiner.
But I'm saying I guess you're right. He probably could be the same framer that those guys are too.
I mean, he's just your best option from the injured guys. You have nobody else.
I mean, Caesar Salad could stub a toe.
He's not hurt. Yeah, you have to fake an injury to get him down there. Keith from LA, 50 at bats against big league pitching. How many hits do you think you can get?
Zero.
I'm getting like 30 probably.
Zero.
I think I could get one. I think I could guess right on a pitch and bloop it over the second baseman's head, or maybe get a weak roller to the right spot and leg it out. I think I get one.
I say zero. I'm being realistic. Sit on a pitch. Yes, I would swing as hard as I could, and I just think that realistically, major league pitching's really good.
I mean, if 50 at bats against Zach Gallen,
zero.
I think I'm getting one. There's this people on I don't know who this dude is. I see it occasionally on my TikTok. But there's a guy who will go ask other athletes that aren't baseball players. Most of the time they're football players. And they'll be how many hits can you get at 100 at bats? And their answers are hilarious. They're 35. They're 40. They're 50. And it's they have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, and I forget who they were talking about the other day, but people don't realize just how damn good Major League Baseball pitchers are, even if on your team he might not be. If he's facing Joe Schmo off of the street, he's going to succeed.
Have you ever gotten a hit off a big leaguer? A guy who eventually played in the bigs?
Yes.
Who?
Yeah, Bob Wickman. There's a couple. A pitcher that pitched for went to the University of Wisconsin, but he pitched for the Blue Jays, and I'll think of it, but there's a couple guys.
Tommy John?
No.
I got a base hit off of Jay Bruce. He was a sophomore at Beaumont Westbrook.
I
was a senior. Yeah, that was his last year.
Lance Painter was the pitcher's name. He pitched in the bigs for a while. Bob Wickman is two. There's a couple.
I remember Painter. Painter rings a bell.
Yeah, Lance Painter went to Wisconsin.
Jay Bruce is a sophomore. I snuck a seeing eye single through the right side into right field, squeaked it into the right field grass, and then he never pitched again. Well, he never pitched after that year because he was such a good hitter. Corey, I posed this question last week to the guys before the Bees as they were talking about all-time best receiver. If you take one receiver all-time to start a team, who is it? Am I crazy to really consider Megatron one?
You're not crazy to consider them. The two names that came to my mind are Jerry Rice and Randy Moss.
Those are the exact two that came to my mind.
Yeah.
I would probably lean Rice.
I would too. I know Randy wouldn't, because Randy's even recently coming out and saying that he's still the greatest receiver to ever play the game. Unbelievable talent, and because of his body size and everything like that and high pointing the football, it's just hard to argue with everything that Jerry Rice did and the skill set that he had.
Yeah, I'm 100% on the same page with that one. Not sports related, but what's your favorite Ozzy Osbourne song?
Crazy Train.
That's mine too. We're thinking too much alike today.
No More Tears is an underrated, really good one.
Okay, yeah. Not bad. A couple of more, 713-780 ESPN. Apologies if I should know, but why hasn't Fromber pitched yet after the break? Did he get hurt when he was hit in his last start? I think that that's the reason they moved him back a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. Someone brought that up, and I hadn't thought of that yet when we were having this whole what the hell's going on with, the whole typo, as we heard about later. And the one thing that didn't come to my mind was maybe as much as he played it off, maybe there was, that was a significant blow to the leg and he needed a couple of days because he wasn't pitching bad. But that and the fact that I think that they looked at the matchups too and that Arizona struggles with lefties and Fromber's definitely a guy that could excel there. So for probably both of those reasons, it was a good matchup for him.
How many Astro players could people name outside of the market?
Probably at least six.
I mean, they would, if you go around, like, I think they would name Walker count because he's been elsewhere. Like, or is he big enough name for him
Jose
to be
Altuve,
known?
Josh Hader.
Yeah, but it's Walker. Like, let's go around the diamond. Walker?
Yes.
Okay, so it's one. Let's go Altuve at second. That's two.
Do you agree with me on Walker?
Yeah, I think I do.
Who are we getting to know? Media or just fans?
No, he said, I think be fans.
I think that fans know Christian Walker enough because he was a hot name on the market.
Yeah, I think he would too. How about Pena?
Yes.
I think so.
That's borderline, but yes.
I think this year he's coming
to
the party.
Right.
Paredes.
No.
I mean, he played in Chicago for a few months.
Yeah, I don't think it was enough because he didn't play well.
Okay. Let's just say Yordan, left field, yes. For Myers, probably not.
No.
Cam Smith?
That's, I would say borderline yes.
Okay. All right. Fromber, yes.
For sure.
Hunter Brown, yes.
Yes.
Lance McCullers?
Yes.
Yes. Probably no other starting pitcher.
No.
Hader, yes.
Yes.
Abreu?
Maybe.
All right, so nine?
Yeah.
Nine?
Yep.
Okay. Do you think the Astros have a top two seed by the end of this week, Ocho?
Yes.
Really?
Astros are still going to be a top two seed in the American League or in all of baseball?
Just the AL. We'll go AL. He said top two seed.
They will be a
AL.
Top two seed in the American League at the end of the week, yes.
Yeah. Can you explain why Chris Paul would reunite with Harden when he left us? He was saying pass the ball to Harden. David
Very
Clearly.
Simple. He's in the situation in Los Angeles means Chris gets to play at home. They had a falling out at the end, but it's the same thing. Harden had a falling out with Russ, and they're still friends, and they still get along. And the fact that James has not won one and knows that they're a better team with Chris Paul on it, that James really, his biggest issues were that Chris Paul held him accountable. I think that right now at James' stage in his career, he just wants to win. Right now at Chris Paul's stage in his career, he just wants to play close to home and win. And I think that they both need each other.
Yeah, yeah. Money talks, right? Last year, too, for Chris Paul, according to Chris Paul.
So he says. If it goes well, I believe he's had another one in him.
I mean, it'd be hard to say no to millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, and a chance to win. I mean, look, if that team's healthy, quietly under the radar, the Clippers have loaded up with depth and talent.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Are the Texans healthy for camp? The veterans reporting today. They'll be on the field tomorrow. Are they healthy entering training camp? And what should be a fun 2025 season? It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
The Killer Bees do a great job most of the time.
Crush it, literal mic drop.
But sometimes they need a little help to make sure they're talking about the right topics. That, well, make the most money.
This is how you're going to make the money.
That's why it's time for the... Wait, Joe, are you forcing them?
Just tell them to talk football.
Okay. Jeez, you're the boss. Here's the Killer Bees corporate mandated football segment.
Not nice, Joe. The new ESPN Houston app is live. Download the new version. New app allows you to sign up and enter to win our giveaways. Hit the go button, and you'll see the new features that will include immediate access to the text and call-in line, all of our social media platforms, and our YouTube channel. There's also a chat feature in the app that listeners can use to interact with each other and the shows. And the app is now available for Android and Google Play users. So, camp opens tomorrow. They'll be on the field tomorrow. And the injury news of the Texans healthy for camp appears to be positive. All of these from Aaron Wilson. Wilson, good reporter. Not perfect, but good, really good reporter. The first one with Joe Mixon is that Mixon is doing great. He got injured in the offseason in his ramp up for the year, just in workouts and stuff. Now, he said he's doing great, and the plan is to ease Mixon in and gradually increase his workload. I mean, this is a major win, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I think that we always say the truth lies somewhere in the middle with everything that was swirling and all that we were hearing, and I had heard the... And actually kind of reached out to some people about the boot and said that it wasn't necessarily false, but it wasn't something out of the ordinary for NFL players in the offseason, and that no one should be concerned. And again, when they signed Chubb, it sent up another red flare of, is there something to be worried about here? But hearing that, I'm expecting he'll be fine by the time they need it.
Yeah, now this is good news. Now, the competition for that position, I think, is going to be fierce. Chubb has something.
Say Pierce or Fierce? Oh, gotcha.
I said Fierce. Yeah, it actually might lack Pierce, which was what I was kind of getting at. Mixon, I mean, you know what you're going to get. Mixon's going to be your number one. I almost said bell cow, but I think they don't want him to be the bell cow.
That's because they would like to
ease the workload. Chubb has something to prove. Like, can he regain his form at all? Like, a 75% Nick Chubb, I think, would be a major win. Can he even be that? We'll see. They like Woody Marks. I mean, they traded up for him. Mm-hmm. Like, they must like Woody Marks. So Woody Marks going to make the team. Like, there's no way that Woody Marks is not making the team if he's healthy. Damian Pierce, does he? I don't know. They really like Dare. Like, they re-signed him, and they love him on special teams. They're probably going to carry a fullback, whether it's Jacob Johnson or whether it's the British Bulldog. So that running back room is going to be a fun one to watch.
I will be on record, Jeremy, because I've already kind of been on record, but I will be on record, like I do from time to time, of this is going to be the season of Chubb. I believe Nick Chubb is going to be fantastic here. He's going to, as I said the other day, I think he's going to be a key contributor, and I think that he's going to do a lot more than people are giving him credit for right now.
How confident are you?
Don't start betting with me. I am. I feel very strongly, though, that he's going to have a good year.
Okay. I wanted to make a bet.
I know you did.
If you were to make a bet, not that you're gonna, but if you were to make a bet, how many total yards would you feel comfortable making a bet on?
You know, I'm not the numbers guy, the two of us. I'd have to delve deeper into total yards, receiving, and running. And he's not going to catch
total.
All that much.
No, he won't. Let's see. Last year, he played in 8 games, and he only had 31 receiving yards, and he had 332 rushing yards. So in 8 games last year, first year removed from the leg injury, he had 360 total yards in 8 games.
Because I know how you think. I'll say 450.
Ooh, that's low. I mean, he had 360
right,
in 8 games.
Because I'm trying to get value, as you
would say.
Well,
we're not making the bet. Like, what would be a fair bet?
500.
Though? Man, I would at least double this, right? Like, he did this in 8 games.
1,000 total yards for him, I think, is too much.
I'm not doubling the 500. I'm doubling the total yards he had last year.
Oh.
Because, I mean, he had 31 receiving yards. He had 332 rushing yards. Let's just do a nice round number of 360. He did that in 8 games. Like, if he's healthy, he should be flirting with 700 total yards.
I think
yards.
650's in play.
Yeah, I mean, 700 total yards feels like a good year. If he's over 500, I feel like it's a pretty good sign.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it'll be somewhere in the middle. I think between 5 and 7, I think he'll be there at the end of the year with total yards.
North of 500, it's a good year for Nick Chubb.
Yeah. 700, and you're talking about a hell of a year for Nick Chubb.
That's
a hell of a year for the Texans. Or, God forbid, something happened to Joe Mixon.
I'm going to ask the Hive, 713-780-3776. 500 total yards for Nick Chubb. Is that a good year or bad year? I'm wondering what the Hive thinks on that, because I think that's the number.
But you know the scenario that's going to cross at some point, which is, it's one thing if Nick Chubb is your number two all year and he gets those numbers. If he gets those numbers because Nick Chubb is your number one, it's a different story, because that means happened to Mixon.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mixon injury concern, not that he's been like a, bad body guy his whole career, but he's older. So maybe the Mixon like misses a couple of games. Maybe Nick Chubb should go up to 600. I think I'm going to go with 600 total yards.
Okay.
I think I'm going to ask the Hive that. 600 total yards, good year or bad year for Nick Chubb. Speaking of Damian Pierce, he had the minor quad that cost him to miss minicamp. But Aaron Wilson's reporting that he's good for the start of camp, which is good for Damian Pierce, because Damian Pierce has to earn a roster spot. So if he was not healthy, that wouldn't help him. So he's healthy. He's good to go. That's good news there. Jalen Knoll missed a couple of days of minicamp, like the final couple of days. He had a hamstring, but he's completely good to go. Started training camp, so another positive there. Danico Autry with a knee is going to be eased into training camp. That's fine. Like, these veteran guys, they deserve the right to be eased into training camp if they have any sort of ailment or injury.
And Autry's already dinged up?
I guess it was in the offseason.
Can we double-check his meds?
His what?
His meds.
Oh, I thought you said beds.
No, I want to double-check the meds so we don't run into a situation like last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
I don't think DeMeco was happy at all that we lost him for six games last year.
But it's the first six, and you have Danielle Hunter, and you have
I don't want to do it 2 years ago.
And you have a couple of other like edge guys who are pretty good, you know? Like, you have a lot of depth there. If I told you that Autry, like, you could have Autry the whole year, but he only plays at, like, a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. Or he could use roids and miss the first six games, but then when you get him back, he plays at a 9 the rest of the year. Which scenario would you rather
ladder,
have?
But I would just say by any means necessary, but, I mean...
There you go, Blanker's proponent of PDs.
No, not at all. But if I had to choose, I'd say the latter, but I don't expect... I expect him to play at a 7, 7.5 for the whole year.
Like, they still have Derek Barnett. Like, Dylan Horton was a guy they drafted a few years ago.
They are super deep. Outside pass rush.
Yeah. Horton's an interesting story, too, with everything that he's had to endure in his young professional career. But, yeah, they're deep at defensive end. So, Autry missing a little bit of time wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So, I don't mind that he's being eased, and he's in his mid-30s. Brevin Jordan, ACL, has been running at full speed, according to Aaron Wilson, but will be eased into camp. Okay,
that's fine.
Yeah, no issues there, right? We're good with that.
No, I mean, look, and again... I know everybody wants to see all this competition right from the get-go. As soon as he's healthy, he can be a huge. I wouldn't say huge. He can be a really good addition to this team if he picks up where he left off before he got hurt. So I'm not rushing him through training camp thinking that he's got to compete early.
I'm interested in Brevin Jordan this year because he was playing at a high level.
Everybody's just going to key on how fast he was on the sideline on the one run in the playoffs. But the bottom line is that he has some ability.
Yeah, I think of the tight ends they have, he has the highest ceiling. Not the best football player right now. He might not even be top two tight ends that they currently have right now. But everybody in that room of who has the highest bar, I think it's Brevin Jordan.
Why isn't he top two?
I think that Dalton Schultz is a better tight end right now today.
Yeah.
I also think that Kate Stover right now today is better than Brevin Jordan.
I think Brevin Jordan's a better receiver than Kate Stover.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Stover's a better blocker, can play a little fullback. He's good enough of a receiver where, like, you know, he's not going to hurt you in that department. And then you add the other element. But Brevin Jordan by far has the higher ceiling, I think, of anybody else in that room. And they even like this little, like, Nick Lachey guy. I know his name's not Nick.
But that's a kid from Iowa, right?
Degrees. I thought it was Ohio. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was talking about Nick Lachey. You were talking about the actual Will Lachey.
Yeah, the actual tight end.
Yeah, he's the big boy from Iowa. Yeah. And then Jimmy Ward foot surgery has not been cleared to return.
I don't think the doors to the to get into the facility have been cleared.
He might not be. Yeah, he might not be cleared to return to the NFL ever again.
So. Yep.
I'll take texture. I'll take the over on 600 yards. Mixon is going to miss some games. Woody might take some of the touches away, so that's a good number. I'm. You know, what's another interesting storyline. Like, who's your third down running back? Like, you would think Woody because he's really good at catching the ball. But they love Dari in pass protection.
And I was going to say, the biggest thing is that as much as Woody might be long-term for you, how he adapts and grasps everything in the offense and with the NFL as opposed to a guy that they know and trust in Dari, I would still say Dari in year one for Woody.
I think so, too. At least, like, early in the year. Yep. Maybe Woody, like, you know, takes over at the midway point.
There might be a changing
like
of the guard when Woody really settles in.
Gradually throughout the season. If Chubb gets 600 yards as number two all year, that's a great season, in my opinion. I would agree.
Yep.
Way understated, 2 1,000-yard rushers, says a texter. I will bet you, texter, we'll find somebody that we can hold the money in escrow. I will bet you a large amount of money that the Texans will not have 2 1,000-yard runners.
Oh, for sure they won't.
I disagree with that texture.
That's more than a stretch. I don't see that.
I really want to make that bet, though. I feel like I got value there. Chubb, 700 yards, says a texture. Texture says Chubb is washed.
All cash, no paperwork. I'll be the one doing the escrow for you.
No, you will not. I don't know you well enough to hold my money in escrow. Ryan, chiming in with that.
I was going to say.
The first thing Ryan says today is, hey, Brandon, I'll hold your money. What?
Decides to play doorbell at a time where he wants to take some of your cash. Come on, man!
No chance, Ryan. Can they play Chubb and Mixon together in some formations? I really doubt it. Like, unless they're getting cute on some like trickery. I do not imagine seeing them in the same backfield.
I think there's
ever.
A better chance that you're going to see either one of them with Dari before you would see both of them together in the backfield because Dari can block.
Yeah, even then, like, even then.
Yeah, they're not going to. Look, it would be a once in a blue moon situation, but at least from a Dari perspective, he can do what those other two, I don't know that I even want them to do.
Yeah, like it's not a Jahmyr Gibbs, Devin Achane situation where you can like split those guys out wide.
Right.
Texter, who are our backup quarterbacks at this point? Davis Mills. Davis Mills is your backup quarterback.
And
probably only keep two.
That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, they have Mertz. They have like Slovis on the roster, but I would be stunned if either guy makes the 53, especially with the emergency third quarterback rule.
Like, I don't ever want to hear you say Mertz again.
What's that?
I don't ever want to hear you say Mertz again.
They drafted him.
They did, and they should cut him, too.
That's a bit harsh.
I saw enough of Graham Mertz in college to realize that.
What if he's a pro guy, though? Like, some guys are way better in the pros than they are in college. Maybe Mertz is that guy.
I hate you for saying that, because the only thing that I can say on that, it goes to your favor, which is Wisconsin had a ton of quarterbacks that never performed well in college and then ended up being lifelong backups in the NFL. Jim Sorgi behind Peyton Manning and a bunch of guys. I don't want to even think about it.
He's also recovering from an ACL, isn't he?
Did Great,
he,
let's take a year ACL? Off.
Yeah, I think they'll keep two quarterbacks on the 53. But I also think both of those guys aren't like you're not scared of either one of those guys being claimed. Like, both of those guys either – Mertz might not be healthy. But if he is, both of those guys are probably easily stored on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Should you choose to keep
one
or
both?
Yeah,
there's no other team that's going to go, I want Graham Mertz on my team.
No chance. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I've heard a lot of people talk about this offense and like C.J. Stroud and Nick Caley and all of this. One thing that I think is critical for C.J. Stroud this season, and it's, you know, it's an area that he's been questioned about in the past. I'll tell you what that area is next. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.